having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the show. It's a beautiful Friday. It's also beautiful because it is Friday, and that means the weekend is here, and we got a lot of football going on. All over the area, both on the high school and college level, and then the Titans game on Sunday during the 3 o'clock hour. That's a late start as opposed to the normal noon, so kind of make a point of that. Don't show up too early. Anyway, let's check in with the Brain Trust. Coach Watson Brown joins us from the Plateau. Watson, hope you're doing well.
George, I'm doing fantastic. What you doing this weekend? Are you over the, since you can't go Braves or anything, what you going to do?
Well, it's funny because I am going to read you a Brave story during the update, so get ready. It's not totally done.
It's
Go ahead. I know there's a cheap shot here.
No, that was enough in itself.
No, go ahead.
It's not. Go ahead. It's not totally done. When is it totally done? To me, it's kind of totally done.
Well, yeah, it is sort of totally done, but we've moved on. Watson, we're 160 days from the start of next season.
Oh, and, gracious. So we've got a little bit of a
countdown.
Head start to next year on this.
Well, here, huh? Let me just say this. You've heard me say that in the next 2 to 4 years, they'll win a world title, and I still believe that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Let's check in with Terry McCormick real quickly and find out what's going on in his world. Terry, how are you?
George, I've been better. My boys did not come through last night. In fact, they played the worst game I've seen them play in quite a while.
Well, that team on the other side's got something to do with it. The Astros' pitching is phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, the Yankees' two big flaws were kind of exposed in that game. The first one being that they really don't have a top-of-the-rotation guy to really lead the charge and get you 6 or 7 strong innings, which we've seen time and again from the Astros in this series with Cole and Verlander. And the other flaw is that the Yankees are falling victim to what a lot of teams in baseball now do, is that they are too reliant on the home run and therefore too prone to the strikeout. And I think 13 of the 27 outs last night were strikeouts. And it's hard to have sustained rallies when you're walking back to the dugout with the bat in your hand.
Yeah, and my team may have a little bit of that as well. One of the things people forget in the postseason, the weather, you know, around the start of October in a lot of parts of the country gets considerably colder. When it gets colder, the ball doesn't travel as well. Didi Gregorius hit a ball earlier in this series that in the summer would have been in the 8th row of the right field lower deck at Yankee Stadium. And when it gets cold, it's a different game.
Yeah, it really is. And there was a big wind up there last night following the rain out on Wednesday. You know, the Yankees have got some issues. They've got a great young nucleus with Torres and Judge, and if they can ever get Stanton healthy and get Sanchez's head put on straight, they've got a great young hitting nucleus. I'd like to see them be able to develop more pitchers and also find a couple of contact hitters to keep rallies going. You know, Brett Gardner kind of was that guy for a while, but he's even gotten homer happy himself, and so we'll see where it goes from there. I guess they've still got a pulse, so they've still got a chance.
Do you think they go after Garrett Cole in free agency?
boy, I would think they should. I mean, because in light of what he's done to them in this series and basically done to anybody he's pitched against, I would think that they should go after him, because that's exactly what they need to, you know, fill out that rotation. If you could put him at number one, and then you've got Severino to be number two and Tanaka to be number three, and who knows what's going on with Domingo Germán and his career, if he were to be able to get back, and that would give you four pretty solid starters. But that is the one thing, sort of like the Braves, they've got a lot of good B to B plus guys, but they don't have a lot of A plus guys to top that rotation.
Yeah. Terry, one of the things that came out of last night, and Watson, you may have seen this as well, C.C. Sabathia pitched what is his final game as a Yankee, and he got hurt in the eighth inning. It was hard to tell exactly what the injury was because, to be honest, it looked like his whole body just broke down in what was his final pitch as a Yankee. I hated seeing that part, but I loved the ovation that he got from the crowd as he left the Yankee Stadium mound. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, one of the things, too, you know, Gerrit Cole, you could be they caught him in the dugout. He was clapping for Sabathia as he walked off. I thought that was a pretty classy move by him there. And, yeah, it was, you know, sad to see CC's run as a Yankee or run as a major leaguer even come to an end, but very happy that he was able to get a nice ovation.
Yeah, about five summers from now, we'll see him again in Cooperstown. That's where he's headed. So
yeah, I think he's probably headed that way.
We've got three stories that I want to talk about, maybe four in the update. The first one, I'm just simply going to read the story as it is, because at 2:20 after the break, we're going to comment on it a bunch. The Kansas City Chiefs received a, quote, best case scenario for quarterback Patrick Mahomes after an MRI showed no damage other than a dislocated right kneecap. And this according to a source who blabbed to Adam Schefter this morning. Mahomes suffered a right patellar dislocation during the second quarter of Thursday night's 30-6 road win over the Denver Broncos. Prior to the MRI, the team believed that Mahomes would miss at least three games. And as I said, we'll leave that for now as the story. But boy, when we come back after the break at 2:20, there's some questions to be asked about that. Watson, I think you know the questions, and my guess is you know the answers.
I think I know where you're headed, yep.
Yeah, I think you do. So, guys, listen to this one, because I'm worried about this one. New Orleans Pelicans rookie Zion Williamson has avoided a severe injury to his right knee, but is expected to miss a period of weeks to start the regular season. He didn't travel with the team to New York for tonight's preseason game against the Knicks, and instead stayed back in New Orleans for further testing. Coach Alvin Gentry said today that he believed Williamson suffered the knee injury during the preseason game last Sunday against San Antonio. He's had a terrific preseason. The exhibition stuff just has sort of confirmed what we've all thought, which is he is an absolutely freakish athlete. But, guys, I'm really worried about what this does with him. I hope that what I'm reading is true and that a couple, 3 weeks rest will help. But I worry about that.
Yeah, I do too. This is the knee that he hurt at Duke, I think. He's now hurt both knees a little bit, but this is his right one, and I think that's the one he hurt at Duke. And those MCL sprains always scare me. And I think that's what it was, best I can remember. And that's that inside ligament on your knee. And if that gets loose, they don't always just tighten up the same way they used to be. And yet it's not a surgical thing. Very few doctors will operate on an MCL. I am too, George. I'm a little worried about his knees now. That's a lot for a young guy here. That's three different knee injuries in a very short career. What, 1 year?
Yeah.
Played 1 year at Duke, and now he's starting his NBA, and it's three times he sit out on both knees, two on one knee and one on the other. Yeah, it scares me.
Terry, here's me being a little overdramatic, but I believe this. You all may completely disagree. There's a lot of pressure on this young guy, okay, from a playing standpoint, to improve that team. But let's also be honest. If Zion bombs in New Orleans, that franchise is probably going to move.
That is possible, George. You know, New Orleans is not one of the more, luxurious cities in terms of having a lot of corporate dollars and things like that it takes to sustain a professional franchise. And they could really use a boost from, Zion Williamson playing well, and going back to his health, I don't play a doctor on TV or the radio or anything, George.
But you have stayed at a Holiday Inn?
I have stayed at a Holiday Inn.
Okay, good.
But,
excellent.
But nonetheless, you talked about him having these knee problems at such a young age, and it makes you wonder with all the basketball that he has played, the basketball does, with the running and the jumping, does a lot of pounding on the knees and the ankles. And most young men are not really completely physically mature until they're maybe 22, 23 years old. And you wonder if he's taxed himself with all that sort of thing going on this early in his career. And that's kind of, caused the problem with the knees. That would be my guess on it. Like I said, I don't know if that's a very educated guess or not, but that would seem to be an issue, because you've got in the NBA a lot of 19, 20-year-old kids who are out there, pounding up and down on, through an NBA season, going against guys who are 29, 30 years old, who are mature and much more stronger than they are, maybe. And you wonder if it takes a toll sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great point.
Yeah, and he's more than the face of New Orleans. I think the NBA knows he's capable of being the face of the NBA for the next 10, 12 years.
And yeah.
I promise you, everybody is holding their breath on that.
Now to one last injury story. Freddie Freeman. Terry, remember him?
Yes, I do remember Freddie Freeman. At one time, he played first base for the Braves and played it pretty well.
Yes. He underwent arthroscopic surgery on his right elbow. The team announced it today, but it was done on Wednesday. They announced that Dr. David Allcheck performed the procedure in New York on Wednesday. The doctor cleaned Freeman's entire right elbow joint during the procedure. He removed three fragmented loose bodies and cleaned multiple bone spur formations that had developed. To his credit, Freddie Freeman never used his performance in the Cardinals series, never said, hey, the elbow is a problem. But it was clear he wasn't anywhere near the Freddie Freeman that I know. And so I'm happy this has gone ahead and happened. Because they did not need to allow this to linger going into next season.
No, for sure they didn't need it to linger. And you just didn't see the quickness in his bat in late in the year, did you? That's what I saw. I didn't see the quickness in his bat, that whip that when he'd catch one right now. I mean, it was just a flip of the wrist and that thing was gone. And you just did not see that. And I'm glad they're fixing it now and getting him fixed. He's left-handed and right, so it's not his throwing hand. That's great news.
No, he's a righty thrower.
He just swings.
So I'm wrong about that.
He swings lefty at the plate.
Well, then that's not good news. But he does play first base. There's not a whole lot of hard throws those guys have got to make. Maybe first to third here or there or something like that. So that's good news too. Boy, he's a great player. I want to see him get well. and be the guy that we all like to watch.
So, Terry.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a little prediction, even though I don't think you care about my team.
Okay.
If I had to pick who I believe they will try to target pitching-wise in free agency, I have long since targeted who I think it will be and who I think they can sign.
All right, lay it on me.
Zach Wheeler of the Mets, Atlanta native.
That wouldn't be a bad get. That wouldn't be bad at all, George. That's somebody that could help bolster that rotation. I don't know that he's a true number one, but he is a solid, solid pitcher. And, you know, I think they could do much worse. And plus, it would also weaken one of your division rivals.
Listen, I don't think they're going to get a number one. I think Soroka ultimately is their number one, and it remains to be seen what Folty is or isn't. I've come to the conclusion off of Game 5, because I don't have anything else to go by, that Foltynewicz is at a point in his pitching career where when he's got his lights-out stuff, he's terrific, and when he's got mediocre stuff, he doesn't know how to muddle through. And that was one of the problems in Game 5.
Yeah, that's starting to look like it. I guess the question I have with the Braves is, what happened with Sean Newcomb? It looked like he was on his way to becoming, a couple of years ago, a really solid starter, and he is just falling apart.
Well, here's what has happened there. He has sort of backed them into a corner and has sort of demanded that he be given a chance to go back to being a starting pitcher. And, by the way, I happen to agree with him on this, but I also think that they needed, at the end of the season, in whatever exit interviews they may have with their players, to say to him, it's put up or shut up time. Okay, your stuff is too good to be a sixth inning reliever, and you've got to decide this winter what you are. Are you the great pitching prospect that we thought we acquired, or are you simply a guy that once out of every other or every third day will be lights out, and the rest of the time your control isn't worth a damn? I think that's what they got. Wow. I think he's one of them. They have really got to zero in on what is he, because he's got too good a stuff to be what he is right now.
Well, and also, George, on top of that, name me the, quote, first-round pitcher, free agent pitchers. How many of them are there other than Cole? How many are out there, going to be out there?
Hold on here. Jay, help me with this. I mean, we know Gerrit Cole is one of them. Yeah. Hold on here. We're kind of doing this on the fly. Because I'm not sure I was prepared to answer this. No, that's okay.
I figured you might know that one.
Well, I'm obsessed with it.
We got Cole Hamels, lefty from the Cubs.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner with the Giants.
Now, let me stop there. I believe there is a shot. They will certainly meet with him. He's a North Carolina kid. There have been rumors about him in Atlanta all along. The question is, what level is he now? He certainly is not the level of World Series hero that he was a few years ago. So don't be surprised if the Braves end up talking to him. I don't know quite how that one's going to work. Keep going.
There's a lot. Zach Wheeler, Rick Porcello for the Red Sox, Felix Hernandez.
Useless.
Yeah.
Got no value anymore.
Steven Strasburg.
Got a lot of value.
Hyun-Jin Ryu. Or Ryu.
He's got a lot of value. Ryu has a lot of value.
Then you got Keuchel, Kenley Jansen, and Jake Odorizzi.
There's some interesting ones in there. That's a very intriguing class.
Yeah, a little better than I thought.
Oh, and Aroldis Chapman. I'm sorry. Aroldis Chapman as well.
Yeah. I don't think they're getting him. So I guess we need to go to the break, and then we will come back with the question that all of you know I'm going to ask involving the game last night and Patrick Mahomes' injury. So stick around from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Tennessee, a 34-point underdog against Alabama at Bryant-Denny Stadium tomorrow. The Crimson Tide, 11-3-1 against the spread in their last 15 meetings with the Vols. Nick Saban at Alabama, 12-0 against Tennessee. Missouri Tigers, a 21-point favorite at Vanderbilt on Saturday. The total, 56. The under, 5-0 in the last five head-to-head meetings. Tennessee Titans will start Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, where they host the L.A. Chargers at Nissan Stadium. Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite. L.A. Rams, a 3-point road favorite at the Atlanta Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Westwood One is the exclusive home for Monday Night Football. Hi, everyone. This is Kevin Harlan. Join Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and me Monday nights to listen to all the thrilling NFL action. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. The league's top players are on display on Monday nights right here.
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
And we welcome all of you back on a beautiful Friday afternoon. So I kind of said, okay, let's just give the injury update on Patrick Mahomes, and apparently it's the best case scenario. But Watson, you know the question I'm about to ask. What on God's earth was given going into the game the iffy status of his knee? What in the world was Andy Reid thinking?
I don't know. I don't know. These guys are so valuable. Put a set in where you got a fullback right behind him and just step back and let a big old back have the ball and run the sneak, you know? I don't know. Don't understand those kind of things. I understand them in college. because those guys carry the ball. A lot of these quarterbacks in college now are 10, 12 times a game ball carriers. I can see that. I think it bothers me as much as watching somebody run a quarterback sneak from the gun. It always has drove me crazy. You're on the 6-inch line and you want to be back in the shotgun and snap the ball 6 yards deep and then the guy try to get across. But no, I don't know, George. As soon as it happened, I said, "Oh my gracious, he's killing himself." Coach Reed's got to be over there killing himself that he did that.
Terry, I know you also were watching this last night. What on God's earth was Andy Reid thinking?
Wow. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, most people would think a quarterback sneak's a pretty safe play. And, you know, but then when something like that happens, you know, you're going, wow, you know, because it could have been apparently a lot worse than it is. You know, the thing that I worry about with Mahomes going forward is that they say even if surgery is not needed, what a lot of the talking heads and medical experts have popped up on TV and all since this occurred, they say that even if you don't need surgery, there's a good chance that it'll pop out again. And so if that's the case, you wonder, is he going to have to play with a brace, which would limit his mobility somewhat, and you wonder if that would take away from him being the type of player that he is. It's just really, really not worth the risk to put him in harm's way like that, and like Andy Reid did.
Okay, let me get both of you to comment on this. Going into last night, the Chiefs' season is kind of sitting there, I mean, I don't want to get too dramatic, hanging in the balance a little. They've shown, you know, over the last 2 or 3 weeks that they haven't fixed any of their defensive issues, and that, you know, that falls squarely on Andy Reid as the head coach, even though he's hired Steve Spagnuolo as his defensive coordinator. Ultimately, whether they get any better or not falls on him as the head coach. So clearly, going into this with the losing and the belief that the league had started to get a little bit of a book on how to defense Kansas City, for Andy Reid to have done what he did last night tells me that he had placed a level of importance or a level of pressure on that game last night that even shocked me.
Well, they had lost a couple in a row. They knew he was hurt is the only reason. Hey, there are guys in the league that run quarterback sneaks in the NFL now. There's a bunch of coaches that do that. I've seen Tom Brady do it a bunch of times. And your quote a minute ago, I don't totally agree with when, or maybe it was Terry, said that it's a safe play. It is not a safe play. That is one of the most dangerous plays. I've lost kids in practice with the ball carry. Those wedges up in there with those huge bodies. And I mean, the biggest bodies you got, people put in bigger bodies on the goal line sometimes. And they're falling on each other. They're flat falling on you. And so it is a dangerous play. But it is as important a play as 3rd and 8 that you make. We have seen many teams lose ball games on 4th and goal from the 6-inch line and not make it through the years. Many teams. So, George, it's tough. It's a tough call. I still think, have you a play where there's a big old refrigerator Perry doing it back before? Just have you a nice size back. He's sitting up there close. The set they were in, it was pretty much you felt the quarterback sneak coming. I just believe I'd take that out of the quarterback's hands and find another way to make that 6 inches at such a critical time, because it is a very important play in the game. I mean, I've lost myself games on 6 inches. You know, I have, and it's a killer. You want to get up the next day and how you feel, and to lose a game and you can't make 6 inches, it really gets you. So I take up for him a little bit, but I just tell all of them up there in the NFL for sure, take it out of those guys' hands. The league's doing everything they can to protect these kids, everything they can. And so the coaches got to think a little more that way, I think, also.
Terry, I'm going to not side necessarily with you in what you said, but I am as guilty as you were a minute ago, because I can think of any number of times where you have seen fourth and inches. First of all, you see a quarterback out of the shotgun, which makes no sense to me in that deal. But I always have the, well, hell, if you can't make 6 inches and line up and just quarterback sneak it, come on. You don't deserve to win. And Watson's right. It's a lot less safe play than we've thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I had never really thought of it in that regard, because you always think of it as just fall forward and pick up the 6 inches. But, you know, there are lots of bodies crashing in there. And I think when, you know, think about it like your quarterback, and that's what happened with the Chiefs. And, you know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes is probably too valuable to put in harm's way any more than he already is just by playing the position.
So let's speculate for a minute that, okay, they've already won one game, and frankly, one of two things happened last night. Either their defense was considerably better, excuse me, or more likely Denver's offense stinks to the level that it does. I mean, it wasn't exactly the 27 Yankees against the Titans, which makes the Titans' loss in Denver even a little more embarrassing. Denver's not very good. But Kansas City is in a division where it looks to me like they're going to be able to win even with Mahomes and the stuff that's going on. Oakland right now seems like the bigger threat in that division than San Diego does. For whatever reason, even though the Chargers come in here this weekend, they haven't played very well in the last few weeks. But when Mahomes gets back, now you've got a guy that's going to have to wear a knee brace. The possibility is there that his mobility will not be as good as it has been during this month and a half of freewheeling. So what has to change knowing that when he does get back?
I think one thing that has to change is that any quarterback, and especially one coming off an injury, or one that, you know, is not 100%, or one that's, you know, and you do this when you have one that's inexperienced, I think you got to run the football to kind of, you know, keep him out of harm's way as much as you can. You know, get the running game going, you know, kind of neutralize some of that pass rush, because you know he may not be as mobile now with the knee situation. So I think you have to, you know, try to rely a little bit more on your run game and try to, you know, get through that way so that, you know, you can make it through until he's fully healthy enough to just go out and be Patrick Mahomes again.
Watson?
That ain't Andy Reid's M.O., I'll tell you.
No,
that.
It's not,
He'll have to go against what he does. Guys, I don't know how quick he's going to be back. Most of the ones I've had kids with this injury, and it's a 4 to 6 week injury, to be very honest.
So you don't buy this 3 week thing?
3 weeks will be pushing it to me.
Yeah.
It's a 4 to 6 week injury, and sometimes all the way to 6. Now, these NFL guys and the way they can treat them, and I mean, they're 24 hours around with them, so they get them back maybe quicker than the college guys do, or even high school guys do. My question is not what they're going to do on offense, but do they go hunt another quarterback, and do they make a run at Marcus Mariota, being probably the best backup that's around, going to be a free agent? Do they try to trade for him through these 6 weeks or so, or do they think Chad Henne, I think, is the guy that, and he's been hurt. He I think he broke an ankle or something, didn't he, back in?
Yeah, it's,
I know,
Matt,
he got hurt.
It's squarely on Matt Moore right now, who, by the way, as he got comfortable, didn't do a half bad job last night.
By the way, they have a quarterback on the practice squad, and it's one Kyle Shurmur.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't realize that.
He is on the Chiefs practice squad, I believe. So he might get elevated for a few games to be their number two if they decide not to go outside.
First of all, I think Watson hinted at something, which is I'm not sure if Andy Reid can, you know, avoid the temptations to for a little more security around Mahomes. He is a, I mean, he's a gunslinger kind of coach, and he's got a team that's fun to watch. But let's face it, they're not going to win any championships as they are today configured.
You mean
I think you're right.
Without Mahomes?
Whether they have him or not. Defensively, Watson, they're not going to win any championships with that defense.
No, Denver can make everybody look good, can't they? That Denver offense can make everybody look good.
But you know, you
I agree
you
with have... you, and that's
– go ahead.
I agree with you, George. That's why I hint toward are they going to go hunt somebody, because they got to score points to win. They got to score 28 more to win each week. Their defense is against any team that's decent, not Denver. But the more decent teams, they're going to have to score points. He knows that. He knows his defense. He knows what he has on defense. You can't fix the defense. Not now. What you got's what you got. And I just wonder if he doesn't go hunt somebody to get him through the next 6 weeks and really don't rush Mahomes back.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. This is a long season. And if they hang in there, the division's not very good anyway. So they can lose a game or two here or there and hang around and then get the kid completely well and then bring him back instead of forcing him to come back. But if they don't get somebody, there's nobody there now that's going to get them 28 to 30 points a game, not in my opinion.
Watson, you brought up a really interesting deal about Marcus Mariota. Because obviously right now he's not preferred nation status over at Titans Central. Terry, would they be open to trading him if Kansas City approached them?
I would think they'd have to listen. You know, I don't know that it's likely, but I would think that they would have to listen if somebody wanted to make an offer for Marcus, because it's obvious right now that he's not going to be in their plans in 2020 and beyond. So you're losing him anyway. And if somebody, you know, slides a fifth-round draft pick your way, I'm sure John Robinson would probably listen.
Yeah. Let's go to the break at 2:40. And when we come back, I want both of you to pick the one game on the college card. If you could only watch one game, what is it? Good enough?
Good enough.
Good enough.
Excellent. We'll come back with more. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Catch one of the longest running radio shows devoted to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Kyle Turris of Nashville Predators.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators.
Every game day morning at 5 with Crazy Charlie Saunier.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Nashville Sports Radio and Redneck Nation. A match made in hockey.
Well, for one of the few times so far since the football season has started, it won't be 90 degrees at kickoff in the South. Tomorrow is supposed to be right around 70 degrees and then around 78 on Sunday for the pro games. So, Watson, let me start with you. If you could only watch one game tomorrow, which one would it be?
Well, the one everybody talks about is Michigan-Penn State, but I personally don't think it's – I think Penn State will get them pretty good. That's my opinion. I think the best one to watch will be – I'm going to pick Baylor and Oklahoma State. I think that'll be a really good game, and it's at Oklahoma State. Baylor's favored.
And Baylor is quietly undefeated.
Undefeated, and Oklahoma State is a tough place. I've been there. Been there twice, matter of fact, and – Stillwater is a not the place that just excites you to go, and they've got good fan base, and it's loud. The stadium is on top of you the way it's built. Tough place to play. So I'll pick that game that I would want to watch. But the one everybody will talk about is Michigan-Penn State.
Okay. Terry, how about you?
Well, yeah, I probably would go with Michigan-Penn State just from, you know, the fact that it's, you know, it's kind of do or die for Jim Harbaugh. They laid an egg against Wisconsin and had, you know, really looked bad in that ball game. And I think they're in a situation where if they want the Ohio State game to have any relevance to them toward the end of the season, other than just for the pride of beating their rival, they've got to give a good showing in this ball game. And it's not going to be easy to go there to Happy Valley and win, even though I hope they do because that's my underdog pick.
Wow, that's all it comes down to. And by the way, thanks to Arkansas State for their lovely performance.
To say that's one that would have been fun to watch. I would have put that one up there. It was yeah. Such a close game.
Well, that's lovely, Watson. Thank you for your level of sportsmanship, which is 0.0.
I'm right there with Mr. Bukowski.
Yeah, your team named the Red Wolves. That sounds like kind of snuff or something.
Sounds like a movie, The Return of the Red Wolves. So
like
let me
snuff that you know, like Copenhagen or something.
Red Chief.
Thank you. So let me go back to where you all are going with the Penn State Michigan game. It's one of the great atmospheres in college football tomorrow night because it's Penn State's annual whiteout game. They do it either for Michigan or for Ohio State, depending on which year that team is coming to Happy Valley. So we know it's going to be a raucous deal. Michigan looks very vulnerable. And I guess I'm going to ask the question, if they get trashed tomorrow night, if Michigan gets beat up pretty good in this game, is Harbaugh out at the end of the year?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think it still would say it's how he finishes even the rest of the way. But, I mean, he's hanging now, if you ask me. He's hanging. It's time for them to take the step, and they've not taken it this year already. So I don't know, George. If they won out the rest of the way, I don't know that it matters. You beat Ohio State, they're not going to get rid of him. There's still possibilities out there for him after this game. But I think he's fighting for his life right now, to be very honest.
Maybe he pulls a reverse Nick Saban when he realizes maybe if he can't get it done at Michigan and get it done at the college level the way he wants to, maybe he just bolts for the best NFL job he could find and go back there where he had some success. You know, Saban and Steve Spurrier kind of did that in the college game after they didn't pan out in the NFL. So, you know, I would look for Harbaugh maybe to just take it up on himself to say, enough of this, I'm going to go coach, you know, whoever.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he'd go straight back. He's not going to take another college job, I'll tell you that. I wonder if he hadn't regretted it anyway. I don't think he would have ever done it, Terry, if it wasn't his alma mater. I don't
right.
think he would have gone
agree
the
with
college
that.
Route. I think he's a pro coach. It's his personality, everything. I just think and he's recruited pretty well, but he's, to me, recruiting and all you got to do in college, I just don't see him enjoying all that. So
right.
I think he'd go right back, in my opinion.
Well, let me see if you all will buy this. When he got there, Ohio State was better than him. Okay, and as of this moment, 4 years, whatever length of time it's been, Ohio State's clearly better than Michigan. But what's happened is now Wisconsin has leapfrogged over Michigan. That's pretty obvious after a 31-0 beatdown. If you want to get ugly about it, it looks like Penn State has gone past Michigan, and Iowa looks like a program that is pretty much on even footage based on the game they played a couple of weeks ago in Ann Arbor with Michigan. And so that's where they've fallen to.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, that 5-6 years ago, you know, the biggest challenge to Ohio State was Michigan State and then Michigan. And now both of those have fallen off tremendously. And it's interesting to see Wisconsin and Penn State and, like you said, Iowa even, you know, kind of rise up to that level because, you know, I would have never thought you would have seen a time when both Michigan and Michigan State would be mediocre football teams.
Watson?
Well, what I was about to say was that that's why it's a hard job. Everybody in the state of Michigan thinks Michigan ought to pass all these teams, and that's not true anymore. These are fine football programs, man, with great traditions themselves, spending money doing all the things they're doing and facility. And I mean, it's you're not by yourself anymore. It's not the old days. It's not Ohio State and Michigan anymore, and it's not going to be. That's why if they get rid of Coach Harbaugh and bring another one, it's still going to be a hard job, just on the level to me, George, of what the fan thinks about it.
Husker Richie, welcome into WNSR at 2:53.
George, one thing about Michigan, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, in the last 50 or so years, they've only got one national championship. They didn't win any in the 70s, none in the 80s. They won it in 97, and that's their last one. So as much as fans want them to win, I don't think the administration is just eager to fire coaches because they're not really coming close to the championship. Now, if Ohio State goes in there and beats them 60-10 in Michigan this year, that might change their mind, but I don't think they're ready to fire him just yet.
Interesting point. For all of the tradition of Michigan, and thank you for the call, Richie.
Thanks, George.
That's good stuff.
George, let me say this. Do you think Michigan has kind of fallen, maybe not as far, but on the same path kind of as Tennessee, in which that the fan base is still living in the good old days and the glory days, and they expect success that really can't realistically be delivered on a consistent basis now?
Sure, but the truth of it is, Watson, you sat there and watched it at Oklahoma. It's going on at Nebraska now. Virtually every program has a little bit of this at some point.
Sure, Alabama did while I was at UAB. A major fall off. And Nick Saban brought it back. Now, very few fall like Tennessee. That's a big fall. But yes, you're exactly right, George. All these programs go through this. But what my point was is there are certain programs in this country where the fan is just absolutely, this is what it ought to be, and they stay frustrated a lot because of that. Oklahoma's one of them. Southern Cal's one of them. Texas is one of them. Notre Dame is one of them. Michigan and Ohio State have been in that pile for years. And there's just those certain programs, and I've been at one. I was at one when it wasn't at its top at Oklahoma, and it's a frustrating fan base. And I understand it. I truly understand it because you've tasted it. And so that was my point with it.
Let's do this. We'll go to our final break of the hour at 2:55 and wrap it up when we come back. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list, because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar, win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange 8s could take your cash even higher, but not like $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke, these are the ones. The August Instant games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun, just play responsibly.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846.
800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I watched a Derrick Henry that got better with each carry to the point where in the third quarter, fourth quarter, defensive players like, I don't want to get hit by him again. You on defense are used to hitting players? No. Derrick Henry was punishing players so much that it was to the point where they were just like almost quitting.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Okay, Jay, am I right? I've got just a little bitty amount of time to end the hour.
Yes.
Watson?
Yes, sir.
I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope you watch more than one college football game.
I will. I'll promise you that. I'll see more than one.
Terrence?
Yes?
Good luck to your Yankees, because you're going to need it.
They are definitely going to need it, George.
Here's your goal. Get to Houston.
Yes, that is definitely the goal. We'll see if they can hang on tonight.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Hour number one is done. We're going to have fun during the second hour. I'm letting these guys get out of here. They're done. And then I'm going to yap with you all and see where you want to take it here on WNSR.